Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet near the bottom of the Amud, looking at the second half of Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Yosei Omer Shochek Bizorel Aracho Matil Layam. We already saw this Mishnah quote in the previous sugya. Amrulo Afu Manasa Zevel Shemar Leibag Biyadcha Meuma Minacherim. So Yosei says, what do you do with Avodah Zarah? You grind it up and throw it in the air or to the sea. They said that also becomes recyclable and usable as fertilizer, and you're not allowed to keep anything from the cher. Tanya, we have some background. Amar lehem Rabbi Yossi, and it's a series of challenges Rabbi Yossi brought to Chachamim, where we see that people behaving ostensibly properly got rid of Avodah Zarah in the same way. Amar lehem Rabbi Yossi, alo kvar nemaret chatatchem asher asitem ata egel. Then Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly that, as he retells in Sefer Dvarim, that with the egel he destroyed it, smashed it up, and threw it into the river that came from the mountain. Amarlo, Amrulo, Misham Raya, there's no proof there. Harehu Omer, Vayizro Pnei Vayashkin Pnei Yisrael, that he took the waters with the ground up piece of the eagle in it and made Pnei Yisrael drink it. Lonid Kamen El Bodkan Kesotot, he treated Pnei Yisrael like Sotot. Everybody was suspected of this infidelity and was made to drink this water. So it's a special case. Amarlo Mabiosi, next challenge. Velo Kvarne Amar, Vigam, Et Ma'acha, Eim Asa Melech, Hesira Migvira, Asa, when he became king, as a good king, got rid of his mother as the queen mother. Asher Asta Miflet, Lashera Mifletzet, Vayedek Vayisof Penachal Kidron. He took this Mifletzet, this monster that she made, this Avodah Zarah, and he smashed it up and burned it up and put it in Nachal Kidron, the Nachal that goes down on the side of where Ir David is. Amrulo Misham Raya, Nachal Kidron, Omnigad El Tzmachin. They said nothing grows there, so therefore it's not being used for anything. Velo, really not. Vatanya, we have the Mishnah in the Brita in Yoma that says Elu Velu Mitavin Ba'ama, that the wa, that the dam and the of the two korbanot of the Parn Sa'ir get mixed together in the channel from the Mizbeach, Vyotzin Nachal Kidron, and they get poured out into Nachal Kidron. Vin Mekarim Legana Nimlo Zevel, and they're sold to the gardeners for Zevel, Umualin Bahen. In other words, they're sold to them so that by buying it, they take it out of the status of Hekdesh, and therefore there's no Me'ila, meaning that it's used for Zevel in Nachal Kidron, and that means that things indeed do grow in Nachal Kidron. So the answer that the Rabbanan give is Mekomot Mekomot Yeshbo, that there are some places in Nachal Kidron that grow and some don't. Yeshmakom Megadel Tzvachin, Yeshmakom Shein Megadel Tzvachin. And so evidently Asa destroyed his mother's Mifletzet and put it there by then in the area that it doesn't grow. Now my Mifletzet, what is, why was it called a Mifletzet, a monster? Yura Dahave Mafli Litzenuta, it was so super silly, super really super ridiculous. Kenathan of Yosef, Kamin Zachut Astala, that she made a sort of a male organ, Vaitanif Elot Lobachol Yom, and every day she would engage in ritual sex with this monster. Okay, so Amarlan Rabbi Yossi, back to Rabbi Yossi, Velokvar Neamar, Vichitat Nachash Nachosh Tashrasa Moshe, that Chizkiyahu took the the copper snake that Moshe had made in Parshat Chukat, and he destroyed it. If you recall the Sugyim Psachim, there were six things that Chizkiyahu did. Three of them Chachamim approved of, and this is one of the things that Chachamim approved of. He took it and he destroyed it because in his day people would pray to it, and they would think it would heal them, and so therefore he destroyed it. So therefore you see that just destroying it and sending it away and not burying it is acceptable destruction of Avodah Zarah. Amrulo Misham Raya, that doesn't prove anything. Harehu Omer Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Asei Lecha Seraph, you make this seraph, this snake. Lecha Mishalcha, meaning it's your own property. Vein Adam Moser Davar Sheino Shelo, nobody can render something forbidden which is not his, and therefore, since this belonged to Moshe, anybody coming along after Moshe that suddenly regarded it as a divinity and started praying to it really cannot change its status, and therefore it really wasn't a Avodah Zarah at all. Really, Chizkiyahu didn't have to destroy it at all. But since he saw that Bnei Yisrael were erring after it, Amad v'chito, that's why he destroyed it. But really, the halachot of destruction of Avodah Zarah don't apply here. Amar lahem v'lo kvar ne'amar. We have the passage after David conquered Yerushalayim. Immediately the Plishtim came around and attacked, and David, by the advice of Hashem, did a roundabout ambush, and Vayazvu Sham et Atzabeim, they left there, when the Plishtim ran away, they left their idols there, Vayisaim David v'anashav, David carried them. Now, my mashma d'hai Vayisaim David, now we're going to interpret Vayisaim David means Leishna Dizruyehu, meaning that he strewn them around, meaning he destroyed them and threw them to the winds. The answer is Ken Matargum Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who was famous for his expertise in Targum and Nevi'im, reads on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Mem Aleph, Tizraim v'ruach tisaim, strew them about, let the wind carry them. Tisaim, Rakaminan, Tizrinun v'ruach titaltalinun, that the wind will carry them. So then Vayisaim, that was meant not that David carried them and lifted them up. This is kind of tortured because, of course, the word lasate means to carry, so if the wind carries it, it's strewn to the area. If people carry it, it's brought up. But in any case, the way that we're interpreting it is that David had these things strewn. Point is, Amrulo, Misham, Raya, you can't bring proof from there. Hari Omer, Vayisufu Ba'esh. In Devarim, it says that they did not carry them, but that they destroyed them with fire. Midalokti, Vayisufim, Vayisaim, since he doesn't say he burned them and then Vayisaim. So obviously by saying here really means he carried them. He carried them up and then burned them. And totally destroyed them. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? The answer is Rav Huna, Rav Huna Rami. So he has the pasuk in Dvarayim versus the pasuk in Malachim. And sorry, Shmuel. So Lokasha, Kan Korim Shabbat Itai Hagiti, Kan Lachar Shabbat Itai Hagiti. Itai Hagiti, as you recall, was one of David's close allies. And according to this take, he was not Jewish. He was one who came with David when David ran away from Avshalom, fled to the other side of the Jordan. So Itai Hagiti, the idea was that he, not being not Jewish, was able to then Vatel the Avodah Zarah, so they didn't have to utterly destroy it. Tichtiv Aikach Tatert Milkom, it should really be read, Me'al Roshom Mishkala Kikar Zahav. That David, when the war in Ammon was nearing its end, and victory was nigh, Yoav called David to come and be the conqueror. He said, otherwise, the conquest will be called on my name. So he came, and he took the crown of Atert Malkom, but really the crown of Milkom was the Avodah Zarah, and he put it on his head. Umishar, since when he's allowed to do that, he's sorry, Hananinu. You're not allowed to get Hanah from the crown on Avodah Zarah. Rav Nachman, Itaigiti, Ba, Vidla, Itaigiti is an Anjou. He came and he said, Vatel de Avodah Zarah. He said, this is worth nothing. Now, Mishkalaki Kar Zaha. So the idea is that that's what Itai would do. So Itai, with the story with the Plishtim, the notion is that as soon as he showed up and it was Vatel de Avodah Zarah, they didn't have to destroy it anymore. And then they carried it. So that's what he's saying. Now, Mishkala Kikar Zahav. Hechi Matzah Manachla. How could you put a crown that weighs a Kikar Zahav on your head? So, Yehuda Amarav, Ruya Anuach HaRosh David. It really should fit on David's head. That was the idea. Not that it did fit on David's head, but that it was appropriate for him. That's what it meant. So, Yehuda Amar, Evan Shorvet Tatabo Ba Tave Darala. That he had some sort of a magnet suspended from the top of his throne, and it would hold this crown in the air over his head. That it wasn't that the thing weighed a kikar zahav, which is way too much to put on a head, but rather that it had a beautiful jewel in it that was worth that much. Okay, now we have a short agadah relating to this story about the crown. This was mine because I kept your laws. What's that, my kamar? What is David saying? Because I kept your laws, this is the testimony, this crown. What's the testimony? He would put it right on the spot where his tefillin would go, and the crown fit perfectly. But he has to put tefillin on. David has to put tefillin. There's enough room on the head to put two pairs of tefillin. So one was the crown, was the other was tefillin. Okay, Vayotzei Ben HaMelech Vaynu Alav Et HaNezev Et HaYedut. This is now referring to to a later coronation, what's the edut? Nezer zu kalila, that's the crown. Edut of Yehuda Merav, edut hi lebeit David. It's a testimony of Beit David. That if the person really is supposed to be the king, this crown fits nicely on his head, and if not, not. Now, at the beginning of Sefer Malachim, we find that as David is old and cold and dying, v'adoniyav and chagit ninaseh lemarani emloch. Adoniyahu will try to become the king. And of course, Natan and Batsheva together got David to issue the order that Shlomo should be crowned. What it means is he was trying to put this crown on his head and it didn't fit. So this is something we saw a bit earlier. He said in Sanhedrin that Adoniyahu made a chariot and riders and 50 men running in front of him. My Rubutai, what's the big chiddush? He's a crown prince. Of course he has his stuff. That we have a tradition that all 50 of them were people who had their spleens cut out and their legs cut in such a way that they would be very fleet runners. Okay, the next Mishnah that we have, Mishnah Hay, is a very interesting piece. Sha'al Proklos ben Pilosophos, which evidently indicates that he's some sort of philosopher, and Rabban Gamliel ba'Akko. They were in Akko. Sha'ya rochetz merchat shel Aphroditi. They were in a merchatz, a bathhouse, and there was an idol of Aphroditi there. The philosopher said to Rabban Gamliel, in your Torah it says you're not allowed to have any contact with the Avodah Zarah. Why are you bathing in her in the merchatz of this Avodah Zarah? So evidently Rabban Gamliel turned to him and said, I can't answer a question in the merchatz. But when they left, he said, I didn't come into her territory, she came into my territory. Meaning, it's in my place and she came in. What does that mean? They don't say, let's make a nice merchatz as a glory for Aphrodite. We have a bathhouse. Let's beautify the bathhouse with an idol. So it's not really idolatrous. And I have another argument. If this really was what Gamaliel said to him, or is that his own addition later? No matter how much money they would give you, you're not going to walk into your own temple naked and impure and urinate in front of her. This one's standing in front of the urinary. They're all urinating there. So lo nemar Elohim, the prohibition is their gods. So something that you treat with reverence is prohibited, but something that you treat in a degrading way, like you're treating the Aphrodite in the bathhouse, that's not Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we have three pieces to this. The first is his response in the bathhouse, which is, I can't answer in a bathhouse. And then the two responses he gave out. He gave outside. So the first thing is, Hechi Abirachi. How could he say in Mishiv Mamerchatz, which itself is Divrei Torah? You're not allowed to even think Divrei Torah in a bathhouse or in a privy. So Vechi, Teimel Loshon Cholamarla, you might think that he said it in Greek or in Latin, which is probably the case. Secular things may be said even in Hebrew in a bathhouse. But holy things you can't say even in another language in a bathhouse. So Tana, the other version of this is that after they left, he said, I can't dance in the merchatz. Meaning he didn't say a word in the merchatz. They walked out, and to explain his silence in the merchatz, he said, we don't talk Torah in the Beit HaMerchatz. So now we have this statement, which is, Tshuvah Gnuvah Hishivah Rabban Gamliel Otoigmon. So Rabbi Shaya is quoted as saying that he really used a deceptive answer. But I, Rav Chaim Bar Yosef Berebi, who reported this from Rashi's name, says, I think it was not a trick answer. I think it was a real answer. Okay, so now, why would we think it's a trick answer? Why would we think it's an honest answer? My gnuvate. So we have four possibilities. To Kamarlo, who cares that you're urinating in front of the idol? Look at this. We have Po'or. The worship of Po'or, the way the rabbis understood it, was that you defecate in front of it, and it's still a valid idol. It still has its status of an idol. And so therefore, he says, therefore his answer was really not a legitimate answer. He was just trying to kind of get out of the problem, but really it's not a good answer, because the fact that you urinate in front of an idol doesn't prove anything about it not being treated with reverence. But Rav Chama said it really is a good answer. Why? That's how you worship poor. So fine. This is not how you worship Aphrodite. This is just behaving in a degrading way. That's take number one. Amar Abaye, he has a different one. This is where the tricky answer was. The Kamarlan, that Rabbi Gamliel's answer was, I didn't come into her territory, she came into my territory. Meaning because the bathhouse was not made for Aphrodite. Aphrodite was brought into the bathhouse. And the question is, who would carry even if I did come into her territory? Vatnan, we have the Mishnah later on. Let's say an Avodah Zorah has an attached garden or a merchatz. You're allowed to go get Hanah, but as long as you don't give any credit or credence, and certainly not payment, to the cult priests who watch the place. You're not allowed to get any hanof b'tova. So Vaniomer, but I, or Chama, is now Abai's take, said that I think this is a legitimate answer. Not gnuva. Why should lo b'tova? Ramagamliel come b'tova achem dami. Ramagamliel coming into the bathhouse, even if he doesn't pay anything to them or give them any sort of recognition, is like a tova of somebody else, because he's such a big guy. Coming in is already a feather in their cap. That's take number two. Shim Barchia Amar, he has a third take. Gnuvatami Hacha, this is where the tricky, or the claim of tricky answer was. The This idol is sitting over the urinary and the urinal, and everybody's urinating there. Who cares at urinating there? We have a Mishnah later on. Mak Befaneh, Yishtin Befaneh, Girav, Zarakbat, Tatsuat. If you spit in front of an idol, or you urinate in front of an idol, or you throw feces at an idol, that doesn't mean that it's batel. We'll see why. But I, of course, Chaim Bar Yosef said that it really is a good answer. Why? Here's what happened. You were hoping for this idol to help you, and then it didn't help you. So you come back and you spit at it, and then you go make up and you beg forgiveness. So it's a one-time deal. However, here, this Aphrodite is sitting there, and all day and all night, people are urinating in front of him. So in front of her. So it's not really an incidental thing. That's its constant pace. So therefore, you can't really regard this as an idol. And therefore, his answer is legitimate. Last take on what the claim of fake answer, and then why it's not a fake answer, is Rabbi Bar Ula. In other words, that we don't build the merchatz around Aphrodite, we rather bring Aphrodite in to beautify the merchatz. And that was his answer. What would happen even if you said, let's make a merchatz to beautify Aphrodite? If you say this house is dedicated to Avodah Zarah, or this cup is dedicated to Avodah Zarah, you didn't say anything. That doesn't have a status. There's no deen of hektesh, meaning if you make a declaration, that doesn't do anything. You have to actually use it. So if you were even to say this merchatz is in honor of Aphrodite, it still wouldn't mean anything until you used it. Rav Chama said it's not gnuva. Now, what's the take in that version? You're right, it would not become asur as a merchatz, noi miyayika, but it still is considered noi of the Avodah Zarah if it came for it. Meaning, if the merchatz was built for Aphrodite, then it's noi Avodah Zarah, and you can't get benefits. So therefore, his answer really was a legitimate answer according to any of these four takes on what it was that the argument was. In any case, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah on the next podcast. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.